You know, and I thank you and appreciate you and giving me the opportunity to be here. It was not something I had to pray about or debate about. When he asked me, I said I'd love to. But if you have your Bibles with you this morning, I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and I'm going to be reading in verses 1 through 7 this morning. When you find the scripture, if you'll stand for the reading of God's Word. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 7. And the subtitle in my Bible says, "The Day of the Lord." It says, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night." If you're taking notes this morning, I've entitled this message that it's time to wake the church. It's time to wake the church. Let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Father, I come to you today, Lord, and I thank you for your word. I thank you for what it means to us. And God, I just ask that you would use me today as your instrument to distribute your word to each and every individual that's here under the sound of my voice. God, I pray that you would open our minds. Lord, I pray that you would allow your word to live unto us, and that it will be received in such a way that when we leave from here, whether born again, whether lost, that our lives will forever be changed. Lord God, for the lost, I pray that that change will be in the way of salvation. And for the born again, I pray that it'll be in the way of rededication. Rededicated in such a way, Lord, that we go out into the world and we shine as a light for the world to see, so that they'll come to know you, so that the ones around us will come to know you before it's everlastingly too late. I thank you. I praise you. Lord, use me today. And it's in Jesus Christ's name that I ask it. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Or you may stand. It's up to you. Those of you that really are in support of me should stand up with me the whole time I'm preaching. I got to stand. Y'all might as well stand with me. It's time to wake the church, y'all. It's time to wake the church. I want to do something that I don't normally do, but I want to start off with a story. And one of the reasons why I don't normally do it is because I don't feel like that this is a stage for a performance. And I'm not here to try to tickle your ears and to make you feel good about yourself, unless what I'm preaching through the Holy Spirit touches you in such a way that it makes you feel good. But my daddy told me this story a long time ago, and some of you may remember it, but he told me the story about two men by the name of Leroy and Raskus. Leroy and Raskus were looking for a job. And so they found this ad in the paper or whatever it may have been, and they went to the place where they were doing the interviews, and they walked in and they sat down in front of the people and they began to do an interview with them, and the job was for a truck driving job. It was over-the-road truck drivers, and they were in the state of Tennessee, and so there was obviously some things that they wanted to address with them before they put them in a truck and just allow them to leave and start the job. So As they talked with them, you know, they said, well, we want to give you a scenario, and you tell us how you would handle this situation. So they said, Mr. Askus, if you were driving in one of our 18-wheelers and you begin to go down a steep grade or a steep hill up here in these mountains, and maybe it's snowing a little bit or maybe it's wet, and you begin to go down that hill and you begin to feel that your truck's moving faster and faster, and you start to hit the brake and you realize that you don't have any brakes. And they said, and then as you're going further, you know, you're hitting the brakes, but you know the brakes ain't going to work, so you reach over and you grab your gear shifter and you begin to try to gear the truck down in order to slow it down, and you realize that the gear shifter's broke off and it's not working. You can't gear it down. And as you're going down this hill and you look and you see there's a ledge ahead of you and you know that there's nothing you can do to stop, what are you going to do? Raskus said, well, I'm going to turn around and wake up Leroy. And they said, do what? And they said, well, as a team driving thing, Leroy's going to be with me, I'm sure. They said, I'm going to wake up Leroy. And they said, well, why in the world would, I mean, we're talking about the vehicle and you're fixing to be involved in a bad crash. Why would you wake up Leroy? And he said, well, I'm going to wake up Leroy because Leroy's never seen a bad accident before. The bottom line is his emphasis was on what he knew was inevitable. You know, he says, in his mind, his way of thinking was, I'm not going to be able to avoid this. So I'm going to wake up Leroy and let him experience it with me. Amen. In our scripture here today, in our text, just to give you an idea of what's going on for those of you that know the word, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it's speaking of the dead in Christ and how they're going to rise and how we're going to go to be with the Lord and we're going to meet him in the air. And according to the word, it says, so shall we ever be with the Lord. And he says, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And the chapter ends there with that statement, comfort one another with these words. But beginning in chapter 5, he says, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. In other words, there's no need for me to tell you about when these things are going to take place or when these things are going to happen. Verse 2, he says, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. In other words, you know that when this takes place, it's going to come as a thief in the night, or you will be caught off guard in a sense that there's no way of knowing when it's going to happen, but we just know that it's going to happen. And he says, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. And of course, this is talking about the suffering and the pain and everything that comes with this. And he says, but ye, brethren, look with me in verse 4, and this is where the focus of my message comes from today. In verse 4, he says, but ye, brethren, are not in darkness. Listen to what that says there again. But ye, brethren, or you, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. The word brethren here is referring to the born again. It's referring to the believer. It's referring to the church of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. It's referring to those as Brother Dale and the group was talking about earlier when they said, you know, I know him. I know him and he knows me. The ones of us that know him, the ones of us that have an actual relationship with him. So what does it mean to be in darkness? Well, as I've probably said before, maybe in one of the other messages or something that I've preached here, but the actual place of darkness is the absence of light. An actual place of darkness is the absence of light. Darkness has it has no form. It has no shape. It's emptiness. Paul's speaking about the absence of light? No, he's speaking about the spiritual darkness. He's speaking about the characteristics of spiritual darkness. which is unregeneracy, meaning that you are not born again, meaning that you are not or have not been regenerated. But it's a place that you cannot come out of on your own. The Bible says that we're dead in trespasses and sin in Ephesians chapter 2. It tells us that all of mankind is born into it. We're dead and we have a need to be quickened, a need to be revived. And this is for the lost. This is for those that are not born again. This is for those that have never accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior. A lot of people don't know it going through life, and a lot of people have not been brought to this knowledge, but the fact is that we are all dead in sin. We're born that way. We're born dead in sin. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 22 tells us, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." So in other words, from your flesh to flesh to flesh, generation after generation, each and every one of us are going to die, correct? But this also applies to the spiritual application in the fact that if we are not made new, if we are not revived, if we are not born again, if we are not regenerated of Christ, Jesus said you must be born again. If we are not, we remain in that place of darkness. We remain in that unregenerate state. So their understandings are darkened with respect to the true knowledge of God, the nature of sin, the way of salvation by Christ, the work of the Spirit of God on the soul, and the necessity of it. The Scripture of truth and the mysteries of the gospel. All of these things, according to the Bible, are foolishness to the man that's unregenerate. It's foolish to the man that is not born again. He don't understand it. He has no understanding of the application of it. It's the reason why when some people refer to the Christian faith and we talk about being washed in the blood, they say, "Ooh, what in the world? Being washed in the blood, that sounds nasty, don't it?" They have no understanding of the spiritual application, what it is that we're talking about. So therefore, again, they're ignorant by definition. And Paul says here, you are no longer in that darkness. Let me say that again because I think some of you might be still asleep. You are no longer in that darkness. If you were a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, if there's been a time that He has changed your life, if He has revealed Himself to you in such a way that it prompted you to action on His behalf, for your soul to be saved, and you confessed your sins to Him, you repented of that sin, and you believed in the power of what He did on the cross, the Bible says that you are no longer in that darkness. Continuing in verse 4, He says that that day should overtake you as a thief. The idea here is as one who is in darkness as well who can overtake you because you didn't know it was there. Paul said, for those of you that are lost, for those of you that don't have Christ as your Lord and Savior, it's not going to be a surprise to me that you're overtaken as the thief. It's not going to be a surprise to me that you're judgment is going to be different than mine, because here's the thing. I'm a born-again believer and I trusted in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I'm no longer in the darkness, but you're in the darkness, so you don't see what it is that's coming and you don't understand what it is that's coming. But he says, I do, because I'm not in that darkness anymore. In the knowledge we have of Christ, we've been enlightened to this day, and we should be looking forward to it. We should be looking forward to the day when Jesus comes again. As a church, as believers, we should be looking forward to the time, as they said, when we close our eyes here and open them there. We should be looking forward to that day. Why? Because we're not in darkness. We're not ignorant of what's going to take place. We have the knowledge. And as a matter of fact, if there's any part of what I'm saying today that you're ignorant of, you have the knowledge right in your hand. All you have to do is study it and come to an understanding of it. Study to show yourself approved is what the Scripture tells us. Study so that you do understand. Look at verse 5. He says, "Ye are all children of the light and children of the day." The Greek word here for children means sons. And characteristics of children of light, or enlightened ones, as it's been known to be called. Number one, you have an understanding, having been enlightened by the Spirit of God, and we recognize that we were lost and in need of a Savior. But now we understand that the wickedness of our sin and our inability to save ourselves and to be righteous and to be holy all rests in Him. We understand now that even though we were in this state of darkness, even though we were in this state of wickedness, even though we had this inability, we had this unrighteousness, even though that we had all of these things against us, we know that when Jesus said it is finished, that He offers a way of salvation for us. It gives us an ability, and it gives us grounds to raise our hands from time to time and say, "Glory to God." Amen. It gives us the ability and grounds to say that. Say that word again. Say that word that you just said again.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
All of those things. It gives us the ability, it gives us the grounds to say those things. Why do you see people that have such joy in times of sorrow? Why do you see people that are so happy during times of pain and suffering? I promise you that it ain't because of anything that they've done, it's because of what my Lord and Savior has done for them. Let me tell y'all something. I was wanting to get to this a little later, but I'm going to go ahead and say it. Church! We need to wake up.
Amen.
We need to wake up.
Yes.
There needs to be an understanding amongst the world when it comes to the things that are going on within the church that we have a reason to shout. There needs to be an understanding from outside of these walls that when we congregate here and the things that we do underneath this roof is for the glory of God, and that we're not just having a social club, that we're here for the purpose of giving praise and honor and glory to Him, because we're no longer in darkness. We've been enlightened. We've been given eternal life. And because of these things, you're going to hear me say, "Glory to God," from time to time. You're going to hear me say, "Hallelujah," from time to time. You're going to hear me go, "Whoa!" Some of you may have heard it this morning. I sit back here in the corner. Sometimes that's all I know. I don't know what else to do. Whoa! Glory to God. Hallelujah. Why? Because He says here that we're no longer in darkness. And He says, "But you, brethren, but you, church, but you, born again believer, but you, the one that is washed in the blood," He says, "you are not in darkness that day should overtake you." But we're surrounded in this world by lost and dying people who are still a part of that darkness. And because they're a part of that darkness, when Christ returns, it's going to be as if a thief in the night snuck up behind them and hit them right in the back of the head.
Amen.
See, Paul says, look, for the church, there's no need that I even discuss this with y'all. There shouldn't be. You know what? There should never be a time when a pastor has to preach about the church waking up. There should never be a time that the pastor has to get in the pulpit and say, you know what, something's wrong. Another characteristic of one that's been enlightened is it has been revealed to us that Christ alone is our Savior. Through the finished work of His sacrifice on the cross, His death, burial, and resurrection, and there is salvation in no other. See, part of the reason why we have joy, or should have joy, part of the reason why we should have happiness in our day-to-day activities is in the fact that we are secure and we have assurance in the fact that no matter what happens, that I'm safe with Him. I preached about it just a couple of weeks ago. I preached on seeking God's counsel. And one of the things that I said in that message in seeking God's counsel is that we need to have a full understanding that there is nothing on this earth aside from the written Word of God that we can go to and find answers for the problems that are going on in our lives. There is no other path. When Jesus was talking to the disciples and He was preparing them in John chapter 16, he was preparing them for what was to come. He was trying to speak to their minds and let them know, look, I know you say you have faith, and I believe you do. I know you understand and believe who I am. Call me and let me know about that faith in a few weeks. Actually, according to what I found in my studies, it was even sooner than that. May have even been the same day. But the idea was, let me know how your faith is doing in the worst possible time. Who do you call on in your worst possible time? That's who I call on. I'm going to turn the pulpit toward Brother David because he's the only one that seems to be interacting with me. Who do y'all call on during your time of pain and suffering? Who is it that you rely upon during this time of your life? Why? Because I'm no longer in darkness. Because it has been revealed to me who He truly is. It has been revealed to me that He is the only one that I can rely upon. It's been revealed to me that He is the only name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. He is the only one that can provide these things for me. Why would I reach out to anything else or anyone else? Acts chapter 4, verse 12, it says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Look in verse 5, it says, we are not of the night, nor of darkness. We are out from under the legalities of the law. Praise God for that. If you still think that you have to abide by every jot and tittle of the law, if you think that for some reason that you have to abide by every single thing that's written in the Old Testament, then you better leave now because you ain't got time to fulfill everything that you're supposed to fulfill before dark. Have you sacrificed your bull today? I doubt it. But we're out from under these things. We're no longer part of the spiritual darkness and the ignorance that we once were in. Jesus has revealed Himself to us. We are children of the day. We are children of the day of the Lord, is actually what this means here. Children of the day of salvation. We're no longer of the night as the world is in spiritual ignorance. We are of Jesus, who is the light of the world. Verse 6, he says, therefore, let us not sleep as do others. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others. The word therefore, meaning because of this. I know y'all have probably heard David say this before. He said when he was in college, one of the things that they taught them right off was when you see the word therefore, you need to see why it's or what it's there for. See the word therefore, find out what it's there for. So in digging into that and understanding that, this particular therefore is a little different than some of the others that we see in Scripture. It's not referring to what's written after. It's referring to what's written before this verse. Let's read those again. Verses 4 through 6 here. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, because of what I have just said, because of what I have previously stated, so because we are children of the light, let us not sleep as others do. Let us not sleep as others do. The word sleep here referring to daydreaming or not in a state of competence. Some of you is asleep right now. I'm just being honest. Not to be in a state of competence, slumber or not conscious, death or being deceased. Now this is all of the different definitions that it gives. Regardless of which definition you use, it is a state of uselessness when it comes to watching for Jesus' return and watching out for each other as Christian believers. I can't think of a better time. I don't remember which one of y'all said it. I can't think of a better time than right now for you to be focusing on your closeness to our Lord and Savior. That's what was said. I kept saying, man, if they go on, they're going to be preaching my entire message. They keep singing, they're going to be, I'm just go up there and say, let's have an invitation. Maybe that's what we should have had if you'd have been paying attention, but some of you's asleep. I say that. I say that with heartfelt regard to the fact that every place I go anymore, every church I'm able to be a part of, every congregation of people, it's as if the blanket has been pulled up to the neck of the church and Satan has tucked us in and he said, you know what? Sleep well. Sleep well. Paul was saying this some 2,000 plus years ago that the church needs to remain awake. And still today we fight the same fight. Do we believe that we were delivered out of darkness, y'all? Amen. Do we believe that we were regenerated? Do we believe that we were born again, washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do we believe that when He said it is finished, that that's all it took for me? Amen. And for you. Do we really believe that? And why does it seem as if we're asleep? You'll be glad to know I've already preached this message at my church. Why is it that we seem as if we've just went to sleep? Born again believers. It's to be expected of the lost. That's exactly what he's saying here. You're still in darkness. I can't expect you to see the path that I'm on because you're in the dark. You don't have the light shining before you like I do. I can't expect you to understand what it is that I'm looking at because you're still in the dark. But he says, you are not in the darkness. Where are we at, church? Where are we at? And then he says, as others. And in this case, referring to the unbelieving Jews, the unconverted Gentiles, the lost people of the world. We don't want to become lukewarm. We don't want to become compromised. We don't want to become relaxed. We definitely don't want to become stale. We don't want to become conformed to our ways. I'm going to tell you something. It's a shame when somebody walks into church and something different's going on and they say, what in the world? This is completely different from the way we normally do it. Is it not? I mean, to be honest, we're creatures of habit. I understand that. I know that. We get into a rut and we get going, and once we get going in that rut, you know, it's like every Sunday we do the exact same thing, and then all of a sudden out of the blue somebody feels a little bit different that morning and they say, brother, I'm coming to the altar. No, you're not. We ain't took up the offering yet. Right there and sit down. What in the world's wrong with you? We don't do things that we have a way of doing things. We're going to continue to do them that way, brother. And some people go as far as to say, hey, if you don't like it, you can go somewhere else. That's usually what they do. That's usually what they do. We need to wake up. I'm being honest, y'all. I'm including myself. You notice I'm saying we. I'm not saying y'all. I'm saying we. We need to get out of this. We need to get out of this sleep and this sleepy state that we're in, this unconsciousness, this daydreaming that we have, and we need to realize that there's people still in the dark. Let me ask you something. If your family was in a home with you and the house caught on fire and you were able to get out and you were able to turn around and look and see your family standing in the window like this, like they ain't got a care in the world, what would you do? Some people say, well, I'd run up to the window and beat on the window, hey, the house is on fire, get out. I would at least let them know. Let me ask you something. Are you letting the lost and dying people of this world around you know that they're in a state of darkness and that there's a fire coming? Are you letting them know that? Other people say, well, I'd bust the windows out. I'd bust the windows out and get them out. I mean, I'd kick the door in and I would go in there and I would grab them and I would drag them out of that house. How many doors have you kicked in lately for those that are lost and dying around you? How many times have you grabbed a hold of somebody? And I'm not talking about physically. I don't want y'all to get any altercations. Spiritually grabbed a hold of somebody and said, brother, I love you, and you're in the darkness, and there's a fire coming that's going to consume you and everything else that's here on this earth. How many times have we done that lately? How many times have we reached out? Man, we got so many sources and so many ways of reaching out to people. Social media alone, you can reach thousands of people. And you say, well, they don't like my statuses no more. Well, they blocked me. They're not blocking you. The thing is, most people will read those things, even if they don't respond. They don't want to engage in it, but they'll read it. It's the spreading of the gospel. Not every person I preach to walks up to me after service and says, brother, I really needed that message. Some people just stand up and walk right out the door without saying a word. Does that mean I didn't do what I was supposed to do? Does that mean I didn't do what God has commissioned me to do? No. How they receive it's on them. But here's the thing. These people are still in the darkness. Again, as I've said time and time again today, you are not. What are you doing about it? What are you doing for it? Continuing in verse 6. He says, but let us watch and be sober. Ezekiel 33 tells us about the watchman. It contains more to do than just simply looking, don't it? When it talks about the watchman, it's not saying that the watchman stood in the tower and just looked around. Oh, there's some people right there. Hey, here's an army coming right now. No, what does it say that he's to do? He's to alert the people, isn't he? He's to wake up the church. He's to wake up the people that are within and without. Everybody There's bad times coming. There's an army coming. There's trouble coming. Label it whatever you want to label it. Put whatever adjective you want to put on it. But the bottom line is that there is a time coming that the world needs to be made aware of. If they can watch the news right now and they know things are changing, they know bad times are coming, man, what an open door. This ain't no walk door, y'all. This is a garage door that God has opened. What's going on right now in Israel? You can't hardly find anybody that ain't talking about it. God has opened up a bay door for everybody. It's lifted up. And from one wall to the other, begging people, go ye out into all the world. And then teaching them and baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Are we doing that? Are we really doing that? And you say, well, I'm not a missionary. Of course you are. Of course you are. It took me a while to realize that even after hearing other people talk about it, but one of the biggest tools I guess I have when it comes to sharing the gospel is just to simply tell what happened to me. And to be honest with you, I've had more people respond to my testimony than I have preaching out of the pulpit. I might not be near as good at it as I think I am, but I can share my testimony. I can tell other people what happened to me. You know what I can do? I can say, hey man, I was once in the same darkness that you're in. But right here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, Paul tells us that I'm no longer in that darkness. God has provided a light for me. And He is the light of the world, according to what the Scripture tells us. And He's made preparation for me. He's made a way for me. But He's also made a way for you. Let me tell you something. He has a flashlight for you. And you can use it to shine on that path. The word sober here, meaning of a clear mind, in control of one's thoughts, is the idea here. To be in control of one's thoughts or their thinking process. Not to be distracted or preoccupied with anything else. Man, do we ever have a world of people that are preoccupied and distracted? I mean, there are some people that are preoccupied and distracted. Paul's saying we need to be alert. We need to be ready to warn of the wrath to come. We don't need to be asleep like the other people are who do not have knowledge of the God that we trust in. Matthew chapter 25 verse 13 says, watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. I'm going to mention something here about faith. And, you know, Brother Dale mentioned earlier that there's a whole lot more emphasis these days on the feelings. There's a whole lot more emphasis on coming to church and leaving like you've just been at a concert, leaving like you've just been at a ball game, about the feelings. It's all about the feelings. Scripture tells us it's all about the faith. When Jesus said repent and believe, that word believe carries this connotation. It denotes the fact that it is a belief that moves you to action. It is a belief that moves you to action. Let me ask you something. Brother, if I was to pull a gun out right now and point it toward you, what would you do?
Probably just look at you. I didn't bring mine.
Let me ask you this, though. If I said, you got 5 seconds before I pull this trigger, what would you do? You're not helping me out at all, brother. Let me tell you what I would do. If you told me I had 5 seconds before you pulled the trigger,
I'm getting gone. I'm getting gone. If you said, if you can make it to that door before I pull this trigger, then you'd be getting to the door, wouldn't you? The closest door. The idea is that the belief moves you to action. That's what I was trying to get at. I didn't mean to put you on the spot like that. But that's the idea. If a car is coming down the highway towards you and you're standing in the middle of the road, what are you going to do? I believe if that car hits me, it's probably going to kill me. I believe if that car hits me, it's going to kill me, I'm telling you. Look how fast it's going. It's coming. It's coming right now. Look, oh, that ain't a car, that's a semi. That's even worse. Man, you know how much that thing weighs? There's a log truck around here, probably about 100,000 pounds. Man, look at that. I believe that thing's going to hit me and it's going to kill me. I'm telling you it is. Would you do that? Or would you say, there's a log truck coming. I believe it's going to kill me. Let me get out of the road. Right.
Amen.
That's the belief that Christ is talking about when he says to repent and believe. That's the belief that has brought these people out of darkness. It's not just to say, well, yeah, I believe that Jesus is coming back. It's to say, I believe he's coming back, and I believe that it says here that I don't know when it's going to happen. I can't see the log truck coming, but I believe it's coming. I know it's coming, and I know if I don't get out of the road, it's going to hit me and kill me. I believe that Jesus is coming. I know that he's coming. And as a matter of fact, I believe that if I don't trust in him, that I have some bad times coming. I believe that according to the Word of God, that I'm going to die and go to a place of eternal torment, flame, and suffering. According to the book of Revelation, it says a lake of fire. I believe that, and because I believe that, it prompted me to action. It prompted me to get out of my seat. It prompted me to move and come to the altar. It prompted me after 23 years of my life of hearing the Word of God and understanding the Word of God even, but up until that point I had not actually moved. I saw the truck coming, but I hadn't moved. That night I moved. And let me tell you what happened after I moved. The truck went on by me. The truck went on by, but guess what? I turned around and I looked back in the road and I seen my family was standing in the road. I see that my friends are standing in the road, y'all. I see that there's a world all around me and they're standing out in the middle of the road and the truck is coming, but I decided to go home and go to sleep. Look at verse 7. He says, "For they that sleep, sleep in the night. Those that are dead in trespasses and sins, those that are not aware of their wicked state, those that slumber in their unrighteousness, they're going to continue to do so in the darkness." Do we go crawl in bed with them? Paul said, no, that's not what you do. In their own ignorance. And again, this is not in the case of the born again, or at least it shouldn't be. But yet Paul seemed to see the need to say, look, you know, for the church I shouldn't have to say this. For the church I shouldn't have to write to you about the times and the seasons and all of these things. For the church I shouldn't have to preach this message today. For the church, God should never have laid this message on my heart. But he did. Why? Because we are guilty of sleeping. There's a bad accident coming. It's time to wake up Leroy. Amen. There's a bad accident coming. It's time to wake up. It's time to get ourselves in gear. It's time to understand that the things that are going on in the world right now are what's preceding him busting the eastern sky wide open. At any moment, At any moment it could happen. I love that song. It could happen in a moment.
Look into the east, brother.
Amen. At any time it could happen. Why are we not telling others though? Why are we not reaching others? Why are we not living by example? I'm going to go out on a limb here just based off of what we have, and forgive me if I'm wrong, Lord, for saying this. Tonight at my church, there'll probably be about 20% of the congregation that's there this morning in attendance, if that. And you know, I've been just focusing on me, and then I begin to talk to other pastors and they say, brother, it ain't just you. It ain't just you. We've fallen asleep, y'all. He says, being drunken in the night, those that are not of a clear mind, those that are not in control of their thoughts, they're distracted, they're preoccupied. Luke 21:34 says, and take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with the surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that the day come upon you unawares. So it's going to catch you by surprise. It shouldn't catch us by surprise, should it? But for some it will. For some it will. Y'all, we've become a sleeping church. We're not being watchful. We're not warning others against the dangers that are to come. We're not awake. And we've become no different than the children of the night. We're not sober-minded. Our mind's full of distraction, full of things outside of the scope of what God would have us focus on. Whether it be finances, whether it be family, whether it be sports, whether it be your job, whether it don't matter what it is. The bottom line is it all falls in the same category. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, he says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let me ask you something. Are you praised for a job well done when you wake up in the morning? Does people come and knock on your door and say, man, you did an awesome job last night. You slept all night long. You did great. For some of you say, well, that wasn't but an hour or two. But you don't have anybody showing up at your door. You don't have people calling you and say, praise God, I heard you slept all night last night. There may be a situation or two. But for the most part, the world is not congratulating you. The world's not pleased with the fact that you're asleep, and our God is not pleased with it either.
Amen.
He's not saying, you know what, I want to bless you, and the reason I want to bless you is because you've been asleep, and everybody that you know is still in darkness. Absolutely. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. See, some of you may be here today and you've never come out of that state of darkness. And if that's the case, then I'm not preaching to you, but I'm preaching to everybody around you. But I will be the one to do this. I'm wide awake up here this morning. If y'all hadn't figured it out by now, I'm wide awake. I'm up today, this morning. I sat on the edge of that seat back there the whole time they were singing. I was ready to get into the pulpit, not really knowing exactly what it was that God was going to use me to say, but I knew that this was the scripture that we were going to. I knew this was the focus. And right now I'm wide awake. And I'm going to let you know something. If you're standing in the road in the dark, there's a truck coming. You understand what I'm saying this morning? If you're standing in the road in the dark right now, Danger is on the way.
Amen.
You might think that you have plenty of time to get out of the road, but here's the thing. He don't have any lights on. And according to what the Scripture tells us, we're not going to know when He gets here. We're not going to know until you're hit. And by then, it's too late. The Bible tells us that not only are we in the darkness, but we're blind, we're deaf and dumb. We can't help ourselves, not even in the least. There's only one way that you can receive any help, and that's through Jesus Christ.